Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 44, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. To abide in Christ, you have to walk as He walked. Now, we can believe that He gave us this gift at the cross to be able to walk as He walked. And our faith will be accounted as righteousness. And God will bring us into that righteousness too. So, it says, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. In other words, you know, when you devour the body of Christ, it's with tribulation. The fiery trial comes along with it. Don't the Holy Ghost and fire, remember? the fiery trial comes along with devouring the Word, because God wants to prove the Word in you. And with unleavened bread. And you know what unleavened bread is? It represents the same thing as the body of the Lamb. You know, Jesus, the man-child, went forth and preached the gospel of the unleavened bread and told everybody beware of adding anything to it, like the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, which the disciples understood to mean their teaching. In other words, we're not to add any teaching to the Word of God. No doctrines outside of the Scripture. It's the unleavened bread that has the power to be the Passover for us. The unleavened bread only. In fact, let me tell you what they were told in Exodus chapter 12. That anybody in whose house there was found leaven during that last 7 days, they would be cut off from among the people of God. You know what? The last 7 days is the tribulation period when the unleavened bread is once again going to be shared by the man-child ministry. And it's going to be awesome. Because you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, the Bible says. Of the same time, by the way. And the people who reject that unleavened bread to accept the Pharisees' doctrine, I'm talking about the modern-day Pharisee doctrines, you know, and the leaven of Herod, which means the beast governments, you know. If you accept that instead of this unleavened bread, what God is saying is you're not going to bear fruit, and you'll be cut off from among the people of God. So we're going to have to pay very close attention during that last 7 days, because God is going to share the truth. The righteous have no problem recognizing the truth. You know, it's the wicked and the apostates and the religious people that are in idolatry with world religions and people that don't recognize the truth, right? But when you eat the lamb, you have to eat the head, the legs, and the inwards, it says there. You got to partake of all of Christ. How many of you know that most religions don't partake of all of Christ, and they miss out on many of the benefits of Jesus Christ because they only partake of bits and pieces here and there. You know, if you got the head, it means to have the renewed mind of the Word of God. If you consume the renewed mind of the Word of God, you have the mind of Jesus Christ. You're not rejecting the Word at all. And let's face it, how many of God's people, just for instance, how many of God's people do without divine healing because they have not consumed that part of the Lamb? And they have not renewed their mind with that part of the Word of God, you see. So they do without. Well, many people are going to die during the tribulation period, just like the Jews fell in the wilderness because they would not believe the Word of God. You know what the wilderness is? The Bible says in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 that the wilderness is the tribulation period. And they fell through unbelief. They didn't go to the promised land like Joshua and Caleb did and entered in their bodies into the promised land. That means without dying, they entered into the promised land. And the rest of those Jews died in the wilderness and their children entered into the promised land. Meaning their fruit entered into the promised land, but they died in the wilderness, you see. Well, we got to partake of the head and the legs of the Lamb. That means the walk of the Lamb. And he that abideth in him, let him walk as he walked, 1 John says. And when we walk by faith, God empowers us to walk as the Lamb. I mean, it's no sense in getting under condemnation that I'm not able and I've not been there and I'm not there yet. The point is, we receive the end from the beginning. We accept the free gift of Jesus Christ, a reconciliation that happened at the cross, meaning an exchange happened at the cross. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's the gospel. The good news is that we don't live anymore. Christ now lives in us. So we accept. Our faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested in us. Okay? That's the good news. And the inwards. We want to have the heart of Christ, don't we? So this is partaking of the Passover by eating all of the lamb. Our lamb's already been sacrificed. All we have to do is eat. And this Psalm 91, Passover. It says, let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that which remaineth until the morning you shall burn with fire. Meaning, of course, if you didn't eat it, it would be destroyed. It would be ruined. Like the manna in the wilderness. When they ate the manna, if they tried to save it up for the next day, what happened to it? It bred worms and was destroyed, right? You know, the word that we don't partake of today is gone forever because he said, I'm going to prove my people and see if they're going to keep my word or not. I'm going to send them out to get a measure of manna every day to prove them to see. And some of them said, well, we'll just save it up till tomorrow. Does that sound like some Christians being tempted to not read their word today, just save it up till tomorrow? Well, you won't ever get it if you do that. Today's manna is for today, you see. Tomorrow's manna is for tomorrow. So if you save it up for tomorrow, you've just missed a day's manna, right? So basically, we need to be doing this, you know, putting the word in our heart. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, meaning, of course, when you eat the lamb, you need to be immediately leaving Egypt, right? It's not just reading the word, it's putting it into action, right? Your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, it's very important that we eat it because daily the death angel can pass over us. The curse can pass over us. It is going to be a corporate Passover in the ark. But listen, some people are going to live all the way through the tribulation period because they believe this, you see. We need these benefits daily. Not just in the ark. The fact is, everybody that's in the ark believes this. That's why they're in the ark. They believe all of the gospel and they're going to be spared because they believe the gospel. For I will go through the land of Egypt and that night and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you and there shall no plague, which means a blow or to smite. We think of plagues as pestilences or whatever, but actually, all the judgments that fell on Egypt were called plagues. And now he's telling you, no plague will be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? All this is type and shadow for us. And he's going to smite the land of Egypt very heavily in that great day of the Lord. And the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Notice it's the Lord that passes over. You know, the Lord says, I kill and I make alive. I, the Lord. The devil's on a short chain. Notice the verse there. The destroying angel is on a short chain. Psalm 91. A Psalm 91 Passover of the curse for those 40 days. A corporate. Again, Psalm 91 is true every day, isn't it? It's true for us now. We need to be partaking of it now. But the people that are in the ark, corporately, they're going to be partaking of it. All of the people in the ark believe this. And they're going to be standing in that ark in the safety of God because they're abiding in Christ by faith. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? What is the secret place of the Most High? Thou, O Lord, hast been our refuge in every generation. The Lord Himself is the secret place of the Most High. Abiding in Christ is the secret place of the Most High. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Notice these things here. The terror by night, the arrow, I think that's the nuclear arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, the biologicals, nor the destruction that waits us. He's talking about the same days that we're talking about, the destruction of America. Those same three things are going to happen in the destruction of America. And what is he saying? It's not going to touch you. It's not going to touch you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Doesn't sound like they're hiding out in the woods somewhere, does it? Doesn't sound like they're in a boat anywhere either, does it? 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt, behold and see the reward of the wicked. God plans for His people to see this devastation, to see what the reward of wickedness was, and to show His power by not permitting any of it to touch them. Isn't that awesome? Only with thine eyes. That doesn't mean they're up in heaven, does it? That means they're right there in the middle of it. And see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Notice our confession. Thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Then what does he say? Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Faith is how we appropriate this, right? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, there's the Passover, come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now you want to know, it's not a boat, folks, but those angels are guarding God's people during this 40 days. Wherever they are, notice he says, in all thy ways, those angels are guarding them. And these angels are big. One angel killed 185,000 men in the Old Testament. You can't mess with them. And every one of us has got at least one of those. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You can't even have an accident with one of those angels around. Isn't that awesome? Why Jesus will lead the bear to conquer the United States. Revelation 17. The waters where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns, that's the ten kings, which ruled during the last 3.5 years of tribulation period, which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. For God did put it in their hearts to do his mind. Why did God put it in the kings of the continental divisions? They call them magna regions in the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. The ten magna regions. Why did God put it in the heart of the whole earth to destroy this harlot? Which, by the way, ruled over these same people for 7 years. Because this harlot brought them into devastation and destruction. And God put it into their heart because these people brought persecution and tribulation upon the saints. Just as Babylon did. Kept them in captivity for 70 years. For God had put it in their hearts to do His mind. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city. Notice the woman is a corporate body. And the great city also is a corporate body. This woman is not an individual, but a corporate body of people. And so is this great city. In fact, in Isaiah 26, it talks about the largest parable of the great city, which is the whole world. And it calls Babylon a city of terrible nations. In Isaiah, city of terrible nations. You know, America's a city of states. But world Babylon, there's also a world Babylon. All the world came from Babel. You remember? The whole world was at Babel. God confused their tongues. He spread them out on the continent. And in the days of Peleg, He broke up the continent. He spread that out. All of the world is Babylon. But America's a microcosm of that macrocosm. America is a Babylon, but the world also is a Babylon. So you see, cities in the Bible are also used as corporate bodies. Okay? The city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This woman reigned over the kings of the earth, all the world. And in her was found the blood of the saints. That's why God is going to raise them up to destroy her. Now, we don't want to leave. A patriotic spirit doesn't want us to accept this fact that America is going to turn against the saints. But it will happen. Here's a type and a shadow. King Cyrus led the Medo-Persian bear to conquer the eagle of Babylon. Just as Christ will lead the Russian bear at the head of the UN. Why would the Russians be at the head of the UN? Why has the United States been at the head of the UN? Because they use America's power, military might, weapons, so on and so forth. And in that way, Russia will take the place of America in this division, okay? So Christ will lead the Russian bear at the head of the UN, and the ten kings will conquer the U.S. eagle. Isaiah 45, 1 and 2. Here's a type and a shadow. For thus saith the Lord to his anointed. The word anointed here is the same word for Messiah. But he's not talking to our Messiah, he's talking to Cyrus. Why would God call Cyrus the Messiah? Very simple. Cyrus is going to do the exact same thing that Jesus will do as the Messiah when he comes to save his saints. Okay? Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden to subdue nations. What nations did he subdue? The lion with eagled wings. Okay? Before him I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and the bars of iron. Literally, that's exactly what Cyrus and his people did. They came down, they diverted the Euphrates River that ran underneath the bars that went across the city of Babylon, which spanned the Euphrates River. They diverted the water so that the waters dropped below the bars. They marched in underneath the bars, and there was bars on either bank, gates on either bank, which were unlocked. They walked right into the city and took it. See, it's going to be that easy for America to fall in that day because God himself is going to make sure that they pass right through the bars of iron. So we see hidden within Cyrus is a type of God in Jesus Christ our Savior. In fact, God calls him the Savior. Surely God is in thee, speaking to Cyrus. Interesting. God hid in Cyrus a type of himself. God is in thee. There is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. Where? In Cyrus, he's hiding himself. And he says there, O God of Israel, the Savior. Cyrus led the people of God free to go to the Promised Land. Isn't that interesting? Some people say the Promised Land isn't heaven, but in one type, it is. Okay? Just as Cyrus liberated the people of God from Babylon to go to the Promised Land, Jesus Christ is coming to liberate the people of God from bondage to this United States over the UN world beast to go to the Promised Land. He, like Jesus, used them to build the New Jerusalem. Think about this little typology that Cyrus used the people of God to go back to build the New Jerusalem. Now we know that when Jesus comes, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to use them, his people, to build the New Jerusalem. Okay? The heavenly New Jerusalem. Verse 13. And of course, it's a New Jerusalem because original Jerusalem had been destroyed. I mean, we were taken captive 2,000 years ago. There was a great falling away. The people of God are coming back now. Okay? Verse 13, I have raised him, that is Cyrus, as a type of Christ, up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He shall build my city. Cyrus did that, and Christ will do that. He shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, meaning by grace, because there's no charge, right? Saith the Lord of hosts. Now the Lord is coming to set his exiles free. From what? Bondage to Babylon. Babylon has ruled over them, made war on the saints. You know, the United States over the UN beast is going to make war on the saints for the last 3.5 years. And the Lord is coming to set them free and to bring them to the New Jerusalem. So our Messiah uses his true people to build his spiritual New Jerusalem. He said, I will show thee the bride, the holy city Jerusalem. Okay? Isaiah 44 and 28. Thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Again, he's called a name that's given to Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. Now, of course, he was talking about the New Jerusalem because the first had been destroyed. So this is a type of Jesus Christ. This is why he's going to destroy America as a type of Babylon. The civil war in the UN beast empire. How is God going to save his people besides the ark? Okay, watch this. Luke 21, 20 through 22. And when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Notice, God's people are going to see. They will be here when Jerusalem is encompassed with armies. Because at this particular time, it's at the beginning of the tribulation period when all the nations of the world are gathered together against Jerusalem. And I notice that I use Jerusalem with a capital USA in it, because not only the army is going to be gathered together against natural Jerusalem, but directly thereafter, as a type and a shadow, the United States is going to be encompassed with armies too. Because Jerusalem is a type of what's going to happen to America. America is the first nation that's attacked after the United Nations gathers around Jerusalem to divide it. Then know that her desolation is at hand. So natural Jerusalem isn't going to escape everything. It says here their desolation is at hand. And the United States, USA, in the middle of Jerusalem, their desolation is also at hand. Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains, the righteous, those who hadn't departed after the image of the beast. He says, flee to the mountains. That was the place of safety. That was a type of gathering in the ark, right? For these are days of vengeance, the days of vengeance when God is going to come against all the wicked that have persecuted his people. Revelation 16, demons go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God. You know, Armageddon is not the name of that war. It's only the name of one battle. This is the name of the war. It's the war of the great day of God. It lasts for a year, just like the day of God lasts for a year. It begins at the end of the tribulation period when America's first attacked, and it ends when the Lord during that time when he divides the nations and destroys the nations at the end too. The great day of God, the Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Notice that when the war of the great day of God begins, that's when the Lord is coming. Behold, I come as a thief. Again, we see the same thing. After 7 years, and the Lord comes and visits and takes his people. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. And they gathered them together into Harmageddon. And of course, they're coming according to Zechariah 14. To divide the city. It says half of the city shall be taken. Why? Because that's all the Palestinians have demanded, is half of the city. And I don't know if you remember the prophecies about America dividing Israel, but when they do, America's going to be divided. And that's absolutely true. It's totally out of the Word of God. So I know that those are true prophecies. So when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, that's the symbol, that's the sign, that's the beginning of the war of the great day of God, which lasts for a solid year. It's the flood. That's what it is. In 18 through 20, and there were lightnings and thunders, and there was a great earthquake. This is just a way of describing a nuclear war. Lightnings, thunders, and a great earthquake. And I don't doubt that an all-out nuclear exchange would cause a great earthquake. Such as was not since there were men upon the earth. And the great city was divided into three parts. Now remember I told you that the great city has more than one fulfillment. One of those fulfillments is America, a city of states, and world Babylon, which is a city of terrible nations. That verse is right here, Isaiah 25, verse 2. And this, notice, when great city was divided into three parts, one into three, the three parts are, this is what the Lord told me, north, south, and east. You remember the three divided armies? Well, this is when it happens. When they come against Jerusalem, God divides them. They've come as one, and God's divided them into three, north, south, and east. And at this time, the cities of the nations fell because this is a world nuclear exchange. And Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. There it is again. Babylon is both the whole world from Babel and the melting pot of the United States. Here's the proof of the world Babylon, Isaiah 25:2. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a fortified city a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. In other words, Babylon is a spiritual entity that has invaded the world. Okay? Verse 3. Therefore shall a strong people glorify thee. A city of terrible nations shall fear thee. You know that the UN is just a U.S. of the nations. That's all it is. Babylon at the top, America at the top, has created something in its own image. It's created a beast in its own image. It's a UN of the nations, okay? A city of terrible nations. Zechariah 14:1. Behold, a day of the Lord cometh, a day which is a year, right? When thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations, that is the UN. A UN force will be coming down to invade Israel and to divide it. Against Jerusalem, again, the USA, because what happens to Jerusalem is also going to happen immediately thereafter to the USA. Okay? That is Armageddon to battle. Armageddon is just one battle that actually spreads throughout the earth. All the people are gathered there, but these people represent nations that are going to be at war. So this is a world war. It's not contained in Armageddon at all. That's just where it starts, and that's where it ends, but it's not contained there. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity. And the remnant of the people shall not be, or residue of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. Notice that a remnant of people will still be in the city, but half of the city will go into captivity. And God has not yet gone forth and to fight against the nations. He's permitted the nations to take half of the city of natural Jerusalem and USA. He's permitted the nations to take this, and he's not yet gone forth to fight against them. But he said, a remnant or a residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is a symbol for the saints in the USA and the UN. You see, God's not going to go forth and fight until there's a threat against his people. Then he's going to go forth and fight against those nations.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.